Gloria laughed, telling Kale to chill the fuck out, but he didn't. He was only more tense as Mendoza offered me a drink.
Absolutely not.
Kale pushed the bottle away from me before I could decide for myself. I didn't even want to drink, but Kale deciding for me pissed me off, so I stood up and grabbed the bottle with both hands. Drinking in the middle of the day with so much shit going on was a horrible idea, and I knew that, but that didn't stop me. Mendoza was amused. Kale was not. He glared at me, and I glared right back, taking a swig of the warm liquor. I tried not to spit it back out as it burned down my chest and settled in the pit of my stomach. I quickly handed the bottle back to Mendoza. Gloria passed me a bottle of blue Gatorade and told me to wash it down. Thanks. The Gatorade definitely helped cool down the fire from the tequila. When I looked at Kale, I could tell he was not impressed with my little tantrum, but now that the liquor had moved to my head, I wanted more. I guessed this was how people became addicted to alcohol. With only one drink, everything felt less serious. Kale's annoyance was kind of funny, Mendoza's mood made more sense to me, and Gloria's patience with her husband was even more impressive.
"How's Fisher?" Mendoza asked us. I tried to call him after his dad said he was a free man, but he didn't pick up.
Mendoza quietly noticed me eyeing the bottle of tequila. He looked at Kale, then back at me, tipping it toward me. He underestimated Kale's awareness of literally everything, and I decided to ignore his judgment as I went ahead, with another drink straight from the bottle.
"He's fine. At Karina's place with Elodie. Have you heard from Phillips?"
Kale kept his composure, seemingly choosing not to try to stop me from drinking with Mendoza.
"Nope. And he's a lucky motherfucker that I haven't. My kids were in the house, and he brought a gun here. I better not see him again."
"Okay." Gloria sounded exasperated as she told me to come to the kitchen with her. "We'll take this," she said, grabbing the tequila and taking it with us. I didn't look back at Kale as I followed Gloria into the kitchen. We sat down at their dining table, Gloria on one side and me on the other. Their table was only big enough for four chairs, but had five to fit their family. "Sorry, but I couldn't listen to them talking about Phillips anymore. That's all Manny has been talking about since he woke up." Gloria rubbed her fingers in a circular motion over her temples. "Here." She slid the tequila she'd hijacked from her husband across the table to me.
"Don't get too used to that."
Her eyes fell on the bottle as I took a drink. "And for God's sake, at least put it on some ice." She stood up and went to a cabinet. The cups were all mismatched, and it reminded me of the way my mom always collected random plastic cups from fast food chains and kept them. She always said that people who have matching cups and plates lived in a museum, not a home. And sitting in Gloria's kitchen, I agreed with her. I wasn't sure if it was the tequila or the nostalgic feeling of the house, but Gloria sort of reminded me of my mother. A more stable version of her, who would never abandon her children.
"What?"
Gloria looked down at me as she poured a hefty amount of liquor into a cup with ice, and what I assumed was Gatorade.
"Why are you smiling at me like that?"
She petted my head, and my smile grew. "I really like being around you," I admitted. A bubble of panic rose through my buzzed brain as I realized how weird that probably sounded. I tried to cover it up with more words, hoping she wouldn't regret befriending me.
"Sorry, that was so weird. I meant like, I..."
Gloria's hand gently covered my mouth, ending my fumbling words. "I really like being around you too, Karina," she said, a warm, genuine smile spreading across her beautiful face. Chapter 17. Karina. Eventually, we rejoined the boys in the living room. Kale was more relaxed, pulling me onto his lap on the couch. I sank into the warmth of his body. The couch felt like a cloud.
"You guys are coming over for Halloween this year, right?"
Mendoza asked Kale and me. He had finally switched from tequila to water and Gatorade mixed. Gloria explained that Gatorade as a chaser was their secret to never having a hangover.
Wasn't planning on it,
Kale told him in a way that only Kale could without sounding rude.
Come on, it'll be a good time, no drama,
Mendoza promised. I turned my head slightly to look at Kale's face against my neck. We can't guarantee that, Gloria corrected, moving to sit on her husband's lap. But Phillips is not invited, so we can promise no one will get shot, she said, and smiled as Kale gave her a harsh look. I knew he'd done it for my sake only. This was their usual. I want to come, I volunteered. Of course, I'd love if Kale came, but the invite sounded open to both of us, not only him. He squeezed his arms around my waist a little more tightly. I leaned into him.
Of course you do, he said.
Sure do. Is it a costume thing or a regular party? I asked, realizing I had never been to a Halloween party in my life. My mom loved Halloween, and until she left, I had spent it with her at home, passing out candy to kids as she scared them. I vaguely remembered trick-or-treating a few times, but I'd had more fun with her. So while Austin ran the streets with his friends, filling his pillowcase full of candy, I spent time with my mother on her favorite day. Costumes are optional but encouraged, Gloria replied. What on earth would I dress up as? I hadn't worn a costume in years. Most women my age dressed as a sexy version of something. A sexy nurse, a sexy witch. Even sexy bumblebees were a thing. What are you gonna dress up as? I asked them. We're going as the Addams family. All of us, she said, as the front door opened and noisy children burst through. They climbed onto the couch and life filled the room. Laughter and random noises ensued as they climbed all over us like ants on a tree. And our adult time is up, Gloria smiled, kissing her husband on the cheek, and embraced her children. I wasn't sure what to do, so I copied Kale and awkwardly tried to tickle and poke them back. It felt weird at first. But once Julian started laughing and climbed onto my lap, the thought process behind how to play with a child left my brain, and some instinct kicked in.
I want candy now, Vi told her parents.
Not yet, you have to save it for Halloween.
What are you going to be for Halloween? Julian, the youngest one, asked me.
I don't know where the answer came from, but I responded, a demon?
A demon?
Kale laughed, eyeing me.
Really?
I nodded. Yep, I love demons. I squared my shoulders.
You love demons.
Kale was grinning from ear to ear, noticing how not good at this whole family thing I was. I nodded again, more confidently this time. Always have.
Cool. I wish I could be a demon, but my mom is making us dress up as a family. Manny complained.
I'm not making you. You said you love the idea.
Gloria pouted, and her son rolled his eyes.
Only because I don't want to hurt your feelings, he told her.
She reached for him and squeezed his cheeks gently, as if he was a baby and not nearly her size.
My sweet boy.
You can be a demon if you want. Maybe Karina can do your makeup and help you, she offered. I hoped he would say no, that he would continue to go along with his mom's plan, but to my literal horror, he grinned at me and nodded profusely.
Can you?
He asked, his hands going to his chest to beg. Damn it. Damn these cute kids and my tendency to people please. Sure, I managed. I could barely manage to do a basic everyday makeup look, let alone a costume. But I couldn't bring myself to tell them all that. YouTube was about to become my new best friend. When we left their house, Mendoza was asleep on the couch, and Gloria hugged me and said she would text me later. We went back to my place to find neither Elodie nor Austin there. I texted them in a group chat to be sure they were okay, and Elodie responded that they were at the park. The weather was nice, breezy and sunny, but not too warm. Fall in Georgia meant unexpected rain, cold fronts, and warmth. Sometimes four seasons in one day. "So, what are you going to dress as for the Halloween party I volunteered us for?" I asked Cale as I plopped onto the couch.
"Us?"
He raised a brow and sat on the other side of the small couch. "Absolutely us." His head dropped back and he groaned.
"I never go to that shit. Ever."
I climbed toward him, straddling his waist with my thighs. Placing my hands on either side of his face, I met his eyes with mine. His beauty always stunned me. It showed itself constantly to anyone and everyone who laid their eyes on him, but in such a quiet, comforting way. Like a perfectly roasted warm coffee, like a fuzzy blanket on my couch in the fall. Like Cale Martin. He looked away from me, and I felt that awkward, subtly uncomfortable feeling creep in again. "What's wrong?" I had to ask. He sighed and moved his focus back to my eyes.
"Nothing, I'm just distracted."
"By Phillips or discharge?" I asked, concern growing inside of me. Not because he was distracted by something that didn't revolve around me, but because I hated the idea of worry so much as even touching him, no matter what the situation was.
"A little of both."
He looked down at my chin, avoiding my eyes. "It's not something with me, right?" Cale's already dark eyes turned darker. His expression told me that he was deciding whether to lie to me or not. I knew it could be my own paranoia, but I knew him so well and my gut was screaming at me.
"Honestly, I..."
he began. Here we go, I thought to myself. He was going to either tell me he'd been hiding something about Phillips, or that he was leaving tomorrow for Atlanta, or that he couldn't stand me anymore. My brain was in overdrive, my heart suddenly pounding. I hated the way my thoughts controlled my physical being.
"I really didn't like that you drank so much earlier. I don't care how stressed or anxious or worried you are. Downing tequila isn't going to help you, and it pissed me off that you seemed to do it to deal with your emotions and to piss me off. Both reasons did just that. Pissed me off."
I pulled back from him and dropped my hands. "That's a lot of pissing you off." "Seriously?"
"Yeah, seriously. It's a slippery fucking slope when you start drinking when something goes wrong. I don't want that for you. I've seen it happen again and again. Look at Mendoza, do you want to be like him?"
I shook my head, a little stunned at the shame washing over my body. "Don't judge me, it was one time, Cale."
"One time leads to two, then three, and suddenly you have no control over it."
I felt offended and embarrassed, and honestly, it made me want to lash out at him, despite knowing that he was not only right, but had my best interest in mind. "I'm smarter than that. I'm not my mother."
"Becoming an addict has nothing to do with intelligence, Karina."
His tone was serious as his hands moved to rest on my hips. I kept quiet, processing what he'd said. He was right, and it was ignorant of me to assume that addiction had any tie to someone's intelligence. I still felt like it could never happen to me, that I wouldn't allow it to, that I could somehow control it. But I was also aware that that was an arrogant and untrue thought to have, so for once I kept it inside. Blood ran thicker than water, and her blood ran through my veins. My mom had tried to quiet her ghosts by numbing them, and that certainly hadn't worked. The wreckage she'd left behind should be lesson enough for me. "You're right," I told him, pressing my chest closer to his. I tucked my chin in and rested my forehead in the space between his jawline and collarbone. His skin was so warm, so full of comfort.
"Don't do it again, okay?"
Cale's hands moved to my back, and he ran his palms up and down, pushing under the sweatshirt I was wearing and touching my bare skin. I sighed, instantly relaxing, and my brain slowed down with every breath I took. Okay, I agreed, hoping that I meant it.
Chapter 18, Kale. Karina fell asleep on my lap, likely from indulging in afternoon tequila shots. I had so much on my mind that it was impossible to consider even closing my eyes. I tried it and heard her father's voice begging me to take her with me to Atlanta. I could still smell the coffee on his breath as I blinked away the thought. How the fuck was I going to bring this up to her? We were in such a good place, and the last thing I wanted to do was fuck that up. But her staying here, if it was as bad as her dad made it seem, wasn't safe. My life had gone from so slow and repetitive, being concerned only for my ma and my sister, to a web of chaos. Even Phillips, the unstable yet stable ticking time bomb, had become a direct threat to the people I loved. It was hard to reconcile that he was now on the other side, the enemy's side, as demonstrated by him pulling a gun out in front of Karina. I had spent years of my life trying to save his, to keep him alive, and now just wanted him to disappear, even if that meant death. My phone vibrated in my pocket. I dipped my hand in and silenced it, then gently moved Karina's sleeping body to lean against the pillows on her couch. Her eyes moved behind her lids, but they didn't open. Her lips parted slightly, and she made a humming noise. I covered her with the blanket from the back of the couch and pulled my phone out of my pocket. It was my ma. I made my way back to Karina's room and closed the door behind me before I called her back. "Hey, ma. Sorry I missed your call," I said, sitting on Karina's unmade bed. "You've been missing my calls a hell of a lot lately," she told me. I could practically see her eyes rolling back in her head as she spoke. "How are you? What's been going on?" "Not much," I lied through my damn teeth. "Getting ready for my discharge and move. Same old, same old. How are you? How's Tay? I haven't talked to her in a while either." Outside of a few texts here and there, I had barely spoken to my sister. I guess I had been more distracted than I realized. "She's either at school or studying for school." She paused, and I imagined my sister the last time I saw her, around her birthday, and smiled, remembering her kicking my ass in some trivia game she was obsessed with. Fucking genius. Thank God one of us was. "She got herself a tutoring job, pays well, and you know she loves to keep her face in a book." My ma's voice cut off at the end, bursting into a fit of coughing. "You still have that cough? It's been what, months?" "Oh, hush. It went away for a while. It just came back," she told me. "When are you coming to visit? It's been over a year, and you're only a couple of hours away. I haven't seen my son since you've been home from Afghanistan." I could hear the sadness in my ma's voice, the longing to see me. I didn't have an excuse except the one I couldn't say to her. "I'm sorry. I'll..." "Kale, are you still here?" Karina's voice filled the hallway in the room. "Who's that? Is that a woman?" my mom asked. "Fuck me. Yeah, it is. I'm in here," I called to Karina.
"Oh, thank goodness. I woke up and thought you left."
Karina's cheeks were red and her eyes were wild with fear. I dropped my hand with the phone in it and reached for her. "I'm here. I came in here to call my ma back. You were only asleep for a few minutes," I told her. She looked down at my phone and I picked it back up, realizing my mom was still on the line and that I should have muted the phone or hung up. "Kale, are you seeing someone? Who is that?" my mom asked three times in a row. She wasn't the nosy type, but I'm sure my ma, who had never, ever seen me so much as in the same room as a woman, was shocked, to say the least. "No. I mean, yeah, I am. Sorry, I'll call you back. Love you." I hung up and tossed my phone on the bed like it was on fire.
"What on earth was that about?"
Karina's brows bunched together. Her expression was a mix of skepticism and curiosity. She seemed slightly amused at my obvious panic. I felt like a 13-year-old boy hiding a girl from his mother. "I don't know. I never talked to her about girls." The heat was spreading across my face and uncomfortably down my neck. Karina's smile burst across her face.
"Kale Martin, are you nervous right now?"
She moved toward me, then sat on my lap, her impossibly large smile growing somehow.
"What is this? You're being so cute," she laughed.
I laid down against the bed and covered my face with one of her pillows. Thank God for her messy bed, making the pillows within reach. She grabbed a hold of it, trying to pry it away from my face.
You're embarrassed. I never thought I'd see the day when you're shaken up like this. How freaking adorable,
she squealed, clearly enjoying herself at my expense. Having fun, are you? I moved the pillow, throwing it to the floor. She nodded, covering her laughter with her hand. I gripped her hips, yanking her forward. Her hair fell onto my face, and her breath caught in her throat in surprise. She audibly gulped as I dug my fingers into the soft flesh of her waist.
Not so funny now,
I whispered into her mouth, our lips almost touching. I lifted my hips, pressing my hardening cock against the apex of her thighs.
Quiet and wide-eyed, she shook her head.
I tucked her hair behind one ear and brought my mouth to it.
Nothing to say?
I licked the base of her ear and she moaned, her body melting against mine. I fucking loved the noises she made every time I touched her. Sucking on her earlobe, I lifted one hand under the back of her shirt, unclasping her bra, as I dipped my tongue down to her neck and bit her hard enough to leave a mark, but soft enough to make her soak through her panties. I pulled her sweatshirt over her head, and she lifted herself up awkwardly to pull her pants off. I gripped her wrist to stop her. I wanted to do it. Undressing her slowly was one of my greatest pleasures. Watching her eyes roll back and hearing her breath hitching and panting in anticipation of my touch filled me with indescribable satisfaction. Staring at her naked body was arguably better than fucking her. She shivered as I lifted her back on top of me, sliding her onto my cock. Pink and orange light from the fall sunset cast across her face as she moved her hips, bringing us both closer to heaven. The light hit her skin so beautifully, making the little marks that she always complained about glow. Her eyelashes brushed against her cheek, golden and angelic, making me lose control. Her hands gripped my shoulders as she came, sounds of pleasure pouring out of her as she ground down on my cock. I pressed my thumb against her clit as it pulsed, throbbing as she came down from the high.
God, you're so fucking beautiful,
I said, tensing and releasing my entire body and soul into her. She collapsed on my chest, and I ran my fingertips up and down her back as it moved rapidly. The sun had fallen by the time we caught our breath.
Well, that was,
she finally said when I thought she was asleep. I smiled even though she couldn't see my face. Her cheek was pressed against my bare chest, her hair a wild nest around us.
I should tease you more often,
she told me, lifting her face. I caressed her cheek slowly with one hand.
No, you shouldn't. I went easy on you this time,
I threatened playfully.
It really was so cute seeing you all embarrassed.
Stop saying cute, I groaned, and she giggled, making my hand move with her cheek. She was quiet for a moment, staring into my eyes. I could feel a question growing in hers and wasn't surprised when she asked.
Did you not tell your mom about me?
I cupped her cheek with my hand. I don't tell my ma or anyone anything about me.
Or you. Sounds about right.
It's not for any reason other than that's how I am. I've never introduced her to a woman before, even when I was young. Karina's mouth flew open.
You knew other women before me?
She mocked me in disgust, and my body shook with laughter. No, no, I shook my head. Of course not. You're the first woman I've ever even spoken to. I kissed her soft, wet lips and she smiled, nodding as she kissed me again.
Good,
she said, kissing me a third time, this one lasting a bit longer. After a few moments, I told her that my mom had asked me when I was going to come visit her.
It's only a little ways away, right? You could go there on a weekend, couldn't you?
I nodded. Technically, yes.
Why don't you?
Sighing, I attempted to make sense of my reasoning. Karina wouldn't judge me, but would she understand? Maybe not, but she would try. It's hard to explain, but I realized I've been avoiding seeing my mom since I enlisted. I haven't seen her since I got back.
Oh,
she stared at me, gathering her thoughts.
I guess I knew that because I've been with you most of the time since you came home. It's not because of me, is it?
I shook my head. No. I've been like this since before I met you. I wanted to remember the son she was proud to raise. The boy who never got in trouble and wouldn't hurt a fly. Not a man who has taken lives. Not a man who has blood on his hands and shadows in his mind. Karina sat up on one elbow and leaned onto my chest, bringing her face to mine.
I know she's so proud of you. Anyone would be. You're still the same boy she knew and loved, even if you've been through things that most people can't imagine. And you've handled them better than anyone could have expected. I'm proud of the man you are, and I would be so proud if my son grew up to be the same kind of person.
I could barely stand the overwhelming emotions her words brought on. Shame and relief danced together, both confusing and consoling me. I'm not the boy she raised anymore. I've changed and done so many things she would recoil at the thought of. I can't ignore that, and I'm not sure if I can hide it around her.
Oh, Kale, that's not true. She's your mom. She will be so happy to see you. I'm sure of it. You should go. It would be good for both of you. Don't you miss her?
What a complicated question. Of course I missed her, but the son she missed wasn't me. Not anymore. He died on the battlefield in Kabul. I didn't want to ruin the idea of the boy she raised, but I knew she missed me like crazy. This was the first time I hadn't seen her the moment I got home. The more time that passed, the easier it was to disassociate from the guilt I felt for being a poor excuse for a son. It's more complicated than me missing my mom, I explained.
There's nothing less complicated than a mother's love, she told me, brushing her fingertips along my jawline. My family excluded, obviously. Also, hello? Look how fucked up everything is around us. Elodie, my brother, literally everything is a mess, and for once. Maybe we should run away for a night and leave tomorrow's problems for tomorrow.
That's very unlike us, I reminded her. There was a small twitch in her lips, the dark humor of hers that I loved.
I wish my mom wanted to see me, she added. My chest sank.
Was I being selfish to whine about how my guilt was keeping me from seeing my ma? In front of Karina, out of all people?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was being selfish toward her and my ma. My sister. Myself. I wrapped my arms around her back, squeezing her body to mine. I kissed her forehead and hugged her again. I wasn't sure if I would regret it, but I asked, do you want to go with me? To see my ma? Her head popped up, excitement clear in her bright eyes. They were the color of spring grass today.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure how good of an idea it is for me to go, but I know I'll feel better if you're with me. Karina made an exaggerated noise like a squeal and climbed on top of me. She pressed her forehead to mine and wrapped her hands around my biceps.
Let's go, she said eagerly.
Whether it was from being excited to meet my family or wanting to put together one more piece of the puzzle of my life, her happiness was contagious. And I found myself looking forward to her being in my old town, in my old house. The past and present mixing was not something I usually welcomed, but I would do almost anything for Karina and my ma.
Chapter 19. Karina. The next evening, the sun was low in the sky when we pulled up to Kale's childhood home, and I felt a sense of nostalgia even though I had never been there. It was almost as I had imagined, a quaint ranch-style house with yellow siding, deep red shutters on the front windows, and a matching door. The porch covered the length of the house and had white railings and balusters, with handrails on both sides of the steps. The driveway was a circle shape with a giant tree in the center, and behind the house was nothing but trees. The front yard was deep, the house pushed far back from the road. It was unique, and I smiled as I tried to collect all the details, imagining a young Kale running around the yard, playing in the woods behind the house.
What?
His voice interrupted my imagination. He seemed nervous now, compared to the calm guy who drove for almost 3 hours while I talked so much that I put myself to sleep. Nothing. I love it here. He looked at me, full of skepticism.
But we just got here.
I shrugged, grabbing my purse from the floorboard of his truck. I don't care. I love it already, I said, as a woman no taller than 5 feet stepped onto the porch and waved. That's your mom, I stated the obvious. His mouth twitched anxiously and he nodded.
Yeah, that's my ma.
Let's go in, I suggested, squeezing his hand. It wasn't as warm as usual. The cool temperature of his skin surprised me, but I didn't show it. I squeezed again, and he silently agreed, turning off the truck and unbuckling his seatbelt.
Let's go in, he repeated,
his breath falling out as if he had been holding it for the last few hours. Kale's mom began to cry at the sight of him. She brushed his sweatshirt at the shoulders, her eyes full of tears.
You've grown up in such a short time.
The way she looked at her son made me want to sob. I tried so hard to hold back, to not draw any bit of the attention to myself during their reunion, but damn it, it was so hard. I sniffled, swallowing my emotions the best I could. But I had never in my entire life seen a mother look at her child like that. Like he was the center of her universe. Like she would hang the moon and nail the stars to the night sky for him. Without her saying a word, I could feel the immense love she felt for Kale. I tried to imagine how that must feel, to be so loved by a parent, but couldn't. In a blue and white polka dot cotton dress that nearly swept the ground, she looked tiny as she wrapped her arms around him. He effortlessly lifted her off her feet, squeezing her small frame as she continued to cry.
Don't cry, don't cry. I'm here, he told her,
over and over. As I stood there watching them, I didn't feel awkward or like an intruder on such a meaningful moment. I was so happy to see Kale this way, loved and admired by someone important to him, someone other than me. After a few more moments, he gently put her down and brushed her hair back. It was tied back into a low bun, but had gotten a little crooked during their embrace. Kale's hands went to work, turning her around by her shoulders and undoing the hair tie. He meticulously but quickly redid her bun and kissed her forehead, wiping the tears from her cheeks. I could feel the distance he told me he'd put between them evaporating by the second now that they were together.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I'm Dory. You must be.
Well, if my son had any manners, he would have told me your name by now. She turned her attention to me, smiling and trying to put herself together emotionally. Her smile was a carbon copy of Kale's, literally identical. She was stunning, not an ounce of makeup on her skin, with eyes that were almost too big for her face, which made it even more interesting and captivating. Her eyes were so much softer than Kale's, but I could feel the strength in them. A small woman, but a mighty soul. Karina. My name's Karina, I said back, not knowing what would happen next. She wrapped her arms around me before my worries could take me out of the moment. The smell of honey and fresh-cut flowers filled my senses as she squeezed me like she had known me for years. I couldn't help but notice the look on Kale's face while I was in his mother's arms. A little uneasy, like he wasn't sure what to do. It wasn't like him to not be able to control his surroundings, so I was sure this entire day would continue to make him anxious. That made two of us. Let's get inside. It smells like it's going to rain any minute. She let me go and turned her gaze up to the sky. I sniffed the air and realized she was right. As we walked up the porch steps, I thought about how lovely it would be to sit on this porch during a storm. There were two rocking chairs with floral-printed pillows decorating them, and a table full of empty metal coffee cans, stacks of old magazines and newspapers. It felt cozy and antique, but tidy. A kid's bicycle with inches of dust on the metal and a flat tire. Another table with a game of checkers that hadn't been touched in a while. It felt like a space full of memories of Cale and his sister's childhood. I hoped I would have more time to look more closely before we left. The living room was warm. The air was the perfect mixture of breeze and comfortable heat. The smell of food filled the room. I couldn't tell what it was exactly, but it surely came from heaven. My stomach growled audibly, and Cale looked down at me, a slight twitch in his lips. He was still on edge, and I was prepared for him to stay that way for a while. I couldn't measure the time, even guessing, but emotionally, this was complicated for him, so my discomfort and anxiety were going to stay hidden to the best of my ability. I needed to be the support for Cale, like he'd been for me since I met him. I bet you're both hungry, so I made some of your favorite food, Cale. Have you ever had homemade chicken and dumplings or shrimp and grits, Karina? She asked me. I wish, but no. I shook my head. Even living in Georgia for a while now, I still haven't. Well, I did have shrimp and grits once, but it wasn't homemade, so basically I haven't had them before. So I'm excited to try all the things. I couldn't stop my mouth from moving, even though my mind was screaming at me to shut the hell up and stop being weird. Sorry, sometimes I say stuff, but I'd love to try your food. I apologized, almost clasping my palm over my mouth to stop myself from saying another word. Dory smiled and tilted her head to her son. No need to be sorry. I'm glad you're a talker since we know this one isn't. She lovingly glared at Cale, and to her point he shrugged and didn't say anything. She led us through the living room and into the kitchen so quickly that I didn't have much of a chance to look around. I did clock some picture frames on the wall, but couldn't make out the subjects of the photos. It felt like I was in a museum of Cale's life. She waved for us to sit down at the table and covered her mouth with her arm as she coughed. Cale tensed and patted her back. She told him she was fine and shooed him away. He then pulled out a wooden chair for me. It squeaked against the tile floor, and I sat down with my hands in my lap. He pushed me toward the table and told his mom to sit down too, pulling a chair out for her as well. "I want to feed you, it's been so long," she said, refusing to take a seat just yet. "You sit down and let me be your mama." Her voice was soft but fierce, and Cale obliged, sitting down next to me, his leg shaking up and down rapidly, nerves getting the best of him. Dory filled our plates with a pile of food, and it was delicious. The first bite of a homemade dumpling had me drooling. The texture, something between a biscuit and bread, was insanely perfect, and the broth was flavorful, instantly becoming the best thing I had ever eaten in my life. I devoured my food in silence, as Cale did the same. Dory told us she'd already eaten, and sat down at the table with us, pouring herself some tea from a porcelain pot with little blue flowers on it. She seemed to be used to her son's quiet nature, and the three of us sat in silence, with only the sounds of us enjoying the food and gulps of water to wash it down among us. Cale was on his second plate of food, and I watched him intently, loving the access to him I was being granted by being here in his mother's home while he ate his favorite home-cooked comfort meals. The sudden chirp of a cuckoo clock made me jump and almost choke on my food. Cale laughed, barely making a sound, but the smile on his face was impossible for him to hide. Dory also found it amusing, laughing and apologizing for scaring me. I could feel the embarrassment burning in my cheeks as I coughed and chugged water. Coughing was one of the most ridiculous things to be embarrassed of, but I always had been. It brought me back to coughing in school. every time was mortifying for no reason. I focused on the beautiful color of the wooden kitchen table. It was a medium shade of oak. The top was made of strips of the same wood, but with the grain going in opposite directions in a pattern. It was a long oval shape, and the legs were thick. This table could easily last 100 years. Memories of time together were stained into the surface, making it even more arresting. The irony wasn't lost on me that my father's table was cold and spotless, never so much as a crumb or a fingerprint on it. Family dinners in this home were obviously the opposite of my Tuesday dinners with my father and Estelle.
"Where's Tay? Didn't you tell her I was coming?"
Kale finally asked, wiping his mouth with a napkin.
"She'll be home after her tutoring session. Even seeing you doesn't come before her money," Dory laughed.
I couldn't wait to meet Kale's younger sister. I hoped she liked me, or at least could tolerate me. Even though I was fuller than I had ever been, anxiety found a way to nudge itself into the very pit of my stomach. I wondered what it was like to not worry about every social interaction before they happened, to be able to go with the flow.
"Not surprised."
Kale smiled, scooping up the last bit of food from his plate and shoveling it into his mouth. He stood up to get more, but his mom grabbed his plate from his hands and pushed one of his shoulders down, telling him to sit. He looked at me and smiled a little. I could tell he was attempting to quietly check in on me, even though he was right next to me. I smiled back and reached for his hand when his mom's back was to us. I kissed it gently, and he brushed my cheek, quickly but tenderly.
"Are you still hungry, Karina?"
Dory asked me. Shaking my head, I put my hands on my bloated stomach.
"I'm so, so full. It was the best meal I've ever had, and I'm not just saying that."
"Thank you.
Let me know if you want any dessert or tea," she offered kindly.
Kale went to town on his third plate of food. It made me so happy, but a bit sad, thinking of how much he probably missed his mom's cooking. How many sleepless nights full of explosions, gunshots, and screams he must have had while his mom sat in this kitchen worried sick for her son's life. Incredibly selfishly, I thanked whatever or whoever was controlling the universe for me not meeting Kale until after he deployed. I wasn't as strong as Dory or Elodie or Gloria.
I wouldn't have been able to handle spending every day wondering if he would survive or not.
Even the hypothetical thoughts made my stomach and chest ache. I finally gathered my voice, trying to distract my mind. I didn't want to be awkwardly quiet, but I was terrified of being obnoxious or saying the wrong thing.
"Can I ask where this table came from? It's so beautiful."
Dory smiled, running her fingers across the wood.
"Kale made it."
She beamed, her eyes overflowing with pride and joy. My mouth fell open.
"Really? Wow. It's incredible."
I took a closer look at it.
"When he was, what, 15?
She asked Kale.
"I think so."
He hesitated, uncomfortable with both of us praising him at the same time. I reached for his arm and put my fingers around it, gently applying pressure.
"You made this when you were a teenager."
"Yeah."
"And the chairs," his mom added.
"Except that one," she told me, pointing at the only chair of six that didn't match the rest of the set.
"Wow! Why on earth did you join the army if you're so good at carpentry? You—"
As I realized what I was saying, I pushed my lips shut.
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean it the way it came out. This furniture is so beautiful."
My stupid, stupid mouth didn't know when to stay closed. If Kale built a whole kitchen set as a teen, I could only imagine what he was capable of now. His work on my house and his duplex made so much more sense to me now.
And building Elodie's baby's crib by hand.
"You're fine,"
Kale told me.
"I know what you meant."
His His voice was soft, not offended. I was afraid to look at his mom out of fear that I had already ruined any chance of her liking me, so I kept my eyes down. I wondered the same thing. I told him to try and sell some of the stuff he made. He was out there sanding down wood from the trees behind the house while most kids were running in the streets. But he insisted on enlisting. He'd talked about it since he was a boy, his mother told me. Her body language was so relaxed, instantly making me relax.
Okay, you two, enough about me. I'm gonna clean up and leave you two to talk about chairs or politics or literally anything except me. Please.
Kale said sarcastically, rising from his chair. He gathered my plate and his, along with the utensils, and went to the sink. I tried my best to keep eye contact with Dory as she watched me. She lifted the teapot up and filled her glass as she asked, "Where are you from, Karina?" "All over, really. I've lived in a few different states, but I feel like I'm from Texas because that's where I spent the best years of my life until this last one. My dad is in the army, so we went where he was stationed. I've bought a house here, so I guess I like it more than Texas after all." I had so much to say about my dad, but for obvious reasons, I kept it simple. "And your mom, what does she do?" I tried to keep my back and breathing as strong and straight as possible. I didn't want to come off as unstable, and if I hid my fucked up childhood, maybe she would think I was deserving of her son's time and love. "She's..." I searched my brain for a lie. An easy one that wasn't technically a lie, but wasn't exactly the truth. I made the mistake of looking into Kale's mother's soft eyes, and my defenses melted away as my mouth spoke without my brain's permission. "I don't know what she's doing. She was an alcoholic, or still is, I guess. I haven't seen her in years, and I don't even know where she's living. Before she left, she was a stay-at-home mom and wife, though. But she hated it, so I think maybe she's gotten a job or something by now. I'm not sure." Until now, Kale had been the only person on the planet I openly poured my thoughts out to without editing them. His mom looked at me with the same understanding expression, not overreacting or with false sympathy in her eyes, making me want to keep going. "My dad remarried, and his wife now is better at being a wife. She hasn't really had the chance to be a mother, but she's sort of trying lately with me. My dad and I have a complicated relationship, so it's a little hard to explain the dynamic. He isn't exactly a father. He's so militant and only cares about his wife and the army." Kale turned off the water faucet, and I looked up at him. He leaned his back against the counter, eyes directly on me. "Sorry, I'm trauma dumping all over you, and we've only just met. None of this makes me sound sane or stable." I knew Kale was seconds away from swooping in and saving me from my own compulsive mouth, but he didn't get the chance, because his mom began to speak as he took a step toward us. "Don't you worry, that's what kitchens are for, isn't it?" She smiled. "The good, the bad, and the ugly. And families are always messy and complicated. I don't know a single person who has a stable or sane family." She laughed a little and continued, "I didn't speak to my dad for nearly 20 years before he died, and my mother developed dementia when I was in high school, so I didn't get much of a chance to know her as I became a woman." As I processed that meant Kale's mother and grandfather had had a strained relationship, and her mother had developed dementia at such a young age, both situations incomparably hard, she began to speak again. "I know how hard it is, and how fundamental it is for us women to have a relationship with our mothers. It's the most important and the most painful tie we will ever have to another person. I'm sorry about your mother, but I'm more sorry for her that her illness chose for her. I'm sure she regrets it and wishes she could defeat it every day. Her words didn't slam into me the way I would have expected such an intense statement from someone I'd just met today, too. They caressed me, wrapping each letter around my body, filling a little part of me that had been missing since my mother left. Even though it had been 6 years, I'd never really considered my mom living in regret as a viable option. We've just met, but can I tell you the most valuable thing I've learned as a woman, a daughter, and a mother? She asked me, no hesitation in her voice. I tried to keep the emotion out of my voice. Yes, please. When you think about your mother, and even your father, try a bit of empathy. It's their first go at this life, too. She reached for my hand, and I couldn't help my shoulders from shaking, my fingers from trembling. It's damn hard, and it feels much better to be angry, but we're all trying to figure all this out, mistake by mistake, day by day. When I think about my parents and myself as a mother from that perspective, even my children's father, that gives me a little bit of comfort. So I really hope it does for you, too. Her one suggestion, piece of advice, whatever the hell I wanted to call it, changed my entire perception. My mother had been my age when she had me and my brother. My father, too. Maybe instead of a villain and a selfish abandoner, my parents had simply been young kids trying to figure out how to navigate the world, like me. My mistakes may not be as harmful or heavy, but who got to decide the weight of our wrongdoings and how long our sentences for them should last? Dory was right. It felt much better to be angry at both of my parents. I had empathy for everyone else around me, to a fault, so why not them? Maybe my mom was sitting somewhere wondering about me, wishing she could ask me how my day was or if I had eaten dinner yet. Maybe my father wanted to apologize for being so emotionally detached from me and pouring himself into his work my entire life. Maybe, just maybe, my parents were human too. Chapter 20. Karina. I could feel how puffy my eyes were when I opened them. I was curled up on the couch in Kale's mom's living room. I barely remembered moving from the kitchen, but when I woke up, it was dark outside and I could hear Kale and his mom talking in the kitchen. I stretched my arms out and a movement at the corner of my eye scared the crap out of me. I jumped up, thinking it was a dog or maybe even a ghost, but when I looked again, it was a teenage girl sitting on the other side of the couch, dressed in a white school uniform top and black slacks. Her hair was in double buns on either side of her head, and thin, metal-framed glasses sat on the bridge of her nose. I couldn't see her clearly in the dim room, but I blinked a few times to get the sleep out of my eyes. "Hi," she smiled, seeming to be entertained by my fear. I responded, clearing my throat. "Sorry, I just woke up and didn't realize anyone was in here." I could immediately tell that she was Kale's sister, Tay. She was taller than I'd imagined, but just as pretty. The genes in this family were insane. "You're Karina, right?" she asked me, her voice a whisper. "Yeah, and you must be Tay?" "Sorry, I was so tired and must have conked out here. How embarrassing," I said, matching the volume of her voice. "It's okay. It's nice to meet you," she said, still whispering. "Why are we whispering?" I asked back, checking if there was a reason or if I had just kept it going. My mom and brother are going down memory lane like always, and I didn't want to interrupt them yet, so I was waiting for you to wake up or for them to find me in here before I made my presence known. She grinned, like she was breaking the rules. I matched her expression and kept my voice as quiet as possible. Makes sense. Family reunions can be so daunting. She scooted closer to me to sit on the cushion I was on. Yeah, for sure. And someone always cries, and it isn't going to be me. she said with certainty, rolling her eyes. I tried not to laugh as I confessed. I already did, so you're safe. Her giggle was playful and louder than our voices had been, so she covered her mouth.
Oh man, she got you already, huh?
She's really good at it. Tell me about it. She rolled her head back as the light in the room got much brighter.
When did you get home?
Dory asked Tay as Kale stepped in behind her, his frame so much bigger than his mother's it was almost shocking. In less than 5 steps, Kale was hovering over his sister, and she stood up as he lifted her into his arms and off the ground.
Kale!
She exaggerated her voice, but I could hear the happiness in it.
Tay!
He mimicked her, and she tried to wiggle out of his arms. I thought my heart would burst out of my chest, seeing them together. I couldn't imagine going so long without seeing my brother, especially if he was only a few hours away. Even when Austin had been with our uncle, I missed him every day, despite the stress he brought into my life. I turned my attention to Dory, enjoying the peace and happiness so evident on her face. It must have felt so good to have both of her babies home and on good terms, no matter how long it had been between visits.
How the hell did you grow a damn foot since I saw you last?
Kale asked her, putting Tay's feet on the floor.
You haven't been here in so long, so you wouldn't know,
she told him. I could see the dent her words made in him, but he took it well, not moving a muscle in his face.
Yeah, I get it. I don't come here enough. Anyway, Ma said you got another tutoring job. Shouldn't you be dating or hanging out with people from school at your age?
He asked her. The look on her face was pure disgust.
Why would I do that? I want to make money. Hanging out doesn't make me smarter or richer.
And dating sure as hell won't either, their mother added.
I'm never going to date, Tay said with certainty.
I loved it.
Plus, who are you to talk? You never hung out with friends. You just played football and built stuff.
She poked his chest and then turned to look at me.
And you've never even had a girlfriend until now.
Kale's face was priceless. I couldn't have loved this girl more. She was so funny, witty, and bright, and I loved that she was slightly roasting Kale, catching him off guard, which was a nearly impossible thing to do. Also, I obviously loved to find out that Kale had never properly dated anyone before me, and I was the first one to meet his family.
Okay, enough from you.
He shushed her and tried to avoid looking at me. I was so entertained by all of this, I loved being here. Since Kale had come into my life, I had felt more connected to not only myself, but to other people than I had since the day I was born. Gloria and Mendoza, even Tony and Tharp, now his mom and sister. Kale had given me such a priceless gift without even realizing it. I was never going to be the easiest person to connect with or make friends with, but the people around him were all so warm and welcoming, accepting my awkwardness and even embracing it. I watched him as he talked with his sister, and Dory disappeared into the kitchen. I didn't feel left out as they caught up, and truly, I loved watching him interact with someone he had known so long, even if he wasn't really telling her anything substantial or detailed about what he had been up to since he saw her last. Neither of them so much as mentioned the army, and the only person she asked about was Mendoza, briefly, to which Kale told her he was doing well. Was that the truth? I didn't think so, but I guessed it made more sense than the truth. As I listened to the conversation, their voices faded and my eyes grew heavy. When I woke up, Kale was asleep sitting up on the couch. We hadn't planned to stay the night, but I was glad we had. We wouldn't have gotten home until after midnight if we had driven home. I smelled coffee coming from the kitchen, but wasn't sure if I should follow the scent. I checked the time on my phone and it was 4 in the morning. I walked into the kitchen and found Dory standing by the back door, gazing into the woods behind the house. I tried to make a little noise so she wasn't startled by me walking up behind her.
I hope I'm not interrupting you or bothering you. I smelled the coffee and followed it, habit, I guess.
I nervously rambled while fidgeting with my fingers in front of me. She turned around slowly, a black mug with the United States Army logo on it in her hands. I hope I didn't wake you up. I'm not used to having visitors. I shook my head, ignoring the little pang at the sadness in her voice. I really needed to make sure Kale visited her more. No, not at all. We're the ones who took over your living room. I'm so happy to have you both here. I understand Mikhail hates it here, and I don't blame him, but I will say I got the best sleep I've had in years last night, knowing he was home and safe. After a beat, she added, as you can see, I don't sleep much. Not since he left for basic training. Would you like some? She asked, without looking up from her own coffee cup. I glanced toward the living room, where Kale was still asleep on the couch. Actually, yes, please. I was absolutely not the wake up at 4 a.m. and have coffee kind of girl, but the idea of enjoying a warm cup of caffeine with Kale's mother while the rest of the house, probably even town, slept, was beyond intriguing. This one is right for you. Dory handed me a heavy ceramic mug with little flowers painted on a white background. At the bottom rim, there were thin strokes of green paint, like grass. It was handmade. Maybe by Kale? Mikhail made that for me for Mother's Day when he was in grade school. She answered my question without me asking. It's so cute. I ran my fingers along the bubbled up paint and thanked her as she filled up my cup. I closed my eyes, drinking the coffee slowly. God, it was good. I use chicory. It's one of those love it or hate it flavors, but I've been adding chicory in my coffee for decades. I had never had chicory and wasn't even sure what it was, but her coffee was fantastic. It's great. Thank you. Dory kept looking back at the backyard, making my curiosity eat at me until I was suddenly next to her, peering out into the dark yard to see what she was looking at. Kale built that shed out there. It's where that yellow light is. She pointed to a small glowing light near the line of massive trees. He's so great at stuff like that. Building and renovations and everything in between, I told her, though she knew that even better than I did. It's a fully functioning space. It has a bathroom, a kitchenette. I kept thinking he would move back there once the army got to be too much, or at least come to escape here sometimes. But that hasn't been the case. She took a long sip and sighed. I'll try to make sure he comes here more. He wants to, he's just... I hesitated to speak for Kale, knowing he wouldn't like that, and not wanting to betray his trust by repeating what he'd told me. It's complicated. She turned to me. Her eyes were the exact shade of deep brown as Kale's. And you don't have to promise me anything except that you'll be there for him. Not only with his PTSD, but when my son is the only black man in the room and someone says something out of pocket, I need you to stand up for him. When he works himself to the bone and forgets to eat, I need you to feed him. When people underestimate his talent because of his background, I need you to remind him he is worthy. As his mother, I'm begging you to be his voice when it's not safe for him to speak up. I was a little too stunned to speak, absorbing her words as they coated my mind. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do those things for her son, not because I didn't want to or because I wasn't capable, but because there was so much uncertainty around our future and, as of now, I wouldn't be close enough in proximity to be there for him in this way. My heart was beginning to feel as if it was staying in a constant state of broken, each day cracking a sliver more. I'll do my best. I love him, I admitted. I couldn't bring myself to promise her what she'd asked, but it was true.